One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, low to the waist, a Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello and welcome back to the final Saturday morning apocalypse of the year. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Ryan Caldwell.
Hello!
And of course, it wouldn't be a Saturday morning apocalypse without our good friend, Lord of the Wasteland, Morton Hoof.
Hello.
Or Nick, as we like to call him, as we know him. Well, guys, I would like to say that I am also here joined, but we're also joined by Mike and Jackie, who were with us on our previous Charlie Brown special for Saturday Morning Apocalypse. But unfortunately, if you listen to the last episode we did with Muppet Family Christmas, Mike is still caught in the blizzard. We don't know where he is. He hasn't tried to contact us in any way. We haven't heard about him. Jackie, while she was visiting friends at the Underground City on the previous episode, in fact, we're thinking that's where she was born. That's probably why she is drawn to the air vents the way she is. Similar habitat. Anyway, well, I don't want to say habitat. That makes her sound like a mutant. But she is now providing psychiatric help in her pop-up stand in Bartertown. So, you know, as they say, she's doing the Lord's work out there in Bartertown. She wanted to be here, but there's more pressing matters. Yeah. There's a lot of Charlie Downers out there in the wasteland.
It's a tough time of year, you know. It's a tough lot of depression this time of year, you know.
Yeah. So while she can't be here physically, she is here in spirit. She's helping out all the Charlie Downers out there. So thank you, Jackie, for your service. But we are here, folks. Charlie Brown Christmas special. We talked about it on the Thanksgiving episode we did. You guys were kind of touting it as sort of the end-all be-all of Charlie Brown specials. And I gotta say, after watching it, I think I get it. I think I get Charlie Brown now. Because the Thanksgiving special, I hadn't seen any Charlie Brown properties or anything from beginning to end. That was the first one I saw. And it was fine. It wasn't, like, amazing. It was definitely a low-energy thing. But a Charlie Brown Christmas special, it just felt like a whole different vibe. Like, I mean, it had the same, you know, Charlie Brown was the same, all the characters were the same, but there was just an energy to this Christmas special that the Thanksgiving special was lacking, and we'll get into it on this one. But I'll just say right up front, I really enjoyed this Christmas special.
And this was the first special. First Charlie
Brown. Oh, it was the first special? Oh, wow.
1965.
Wow, and so refresh my memory. The Peanuts comic strip had been around for like at least 10 years prior to this, right?
Yes, let me.
It was around in the '50s.
Yeah, let's get the exact, just in case. So in case anybody writes in mad that we don't know anything, it looks like the Daily started in 1950. Yeah.
So, wow.
About 15 years it had been around or so.
Wow.
I don't know if that's like in full syndication everywhere in the country, you know, kind of thing. But at least that's when it started. You know, it might have took a few years, I bet, for it to be in like newspapers all over the place. So,
and I was surprised, given that this is the first one, I was surprised. So there was no animation type of any for Charlie Brown prior to this, right?
Like
on TV or anything like that.
Let's see. I have the filmography pulled up. Let's see if this was the first thing. So. It looks like it might have been the first, like, animated Charlie Brown thing that was not...
That's impressive. I mean, granted, we watched, like, a 4K remaster, but I was surprised by... The animation looked good to me. It didn't come off like a cheap first-time, you know, project or anything. Like, it seemed like... I don't want to say pro because obviously it's professional, but like it just seemed to me the production quality was surprising to me given that this was the first.
I really like the watercolor skies a lot. Like, kind of that's yeah. something that stuck. I mean, I've seen this a few times, and so I was kind of looking for other things to look at, you know, during it, and I was sort of like, oh wow, the skies are really cool looking. Like they're just like very sort of different colors and washed out and different like patterns going on. It was cool. So
was this the first time for you, Nick?
I may have seen this. I mean, I knew that tree. Like that tree is very famous. But I don't know. Like I couldn't before watching it. As we did for this episode, I couldn't tell you really too much about it. So it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I may have very well seen it, but I don't know. I mean, it is pretty famous. So, it could have, you know, been on the TV at my grandma's house when I was a kid or something like that. But yeah, this is the first time that I really paid attention, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it repeated every year on CBS until the year 2000, I think is what it said.
Wow. So, well, it's an easy thing to program into a night. It's only 30 minutes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one I probably, as a kid, caught a lot of, but then only in the last couple of years I've been like, I should watch it all the way through. I don't know. It's nice. I do. I like it as well a lot. And there's some good bits in it. So
it's interesting. On the previous one we did for Thanksgiving, we were saying that it's like a perfect thing to put on in the background. But for the Christmas special one, it's a bit more involved. Like there's more going on in this special than there was the Thanksgiving one. The Thanksgiving one's really low energy. It's like, yeah, you know, someone invited themselves over and now we got to make dinner. Like that's it. This one. Like, I feel the anxiety with Charlie Brown in this one. Like, he's dealing with the commercialization of Christmas. He's like, why even bother? Like, that thing where he's like,
I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
This is peak anxiety, Charlie Brown. Like, when we first see him walking, I believe it's, is it with Linus?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You could see the anxiety lines on his face. Like, I'm just, oh my God, he looks like he's about to kill himself. Like, there's a shot in this special early on when Charlie Brown is like staring out his window as the snow is falling. It looks like he's contemplating suicide. It's wild.
Yeah, it's really interesting if you contrast this one and the Thanksgiving episode in terms of the palpable nature of the depression and anxiety. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, in Thanksgiving, it, like you said, it was such a low vibe that it was like, it was almost like, yeah, it's very subdued. And, but this one, the depression is just so, I don't know, like it was, it's like, and it feels remarkable for the time because it's almost like,
yeah,
it is a depressing special. Like, I don't, like, that's its theme, really, because, I mean, it, obviously it makes its way to the ideas about commercialization and what that means and if that's causing us to lose our sight or the holiday or whatever. But, you know, for me, like, at least I didn't read it as that for a long time. That message isn't exactly clear. It's almost just like he's just depressed and he doesn't know why. Like, that's why he goes to Lucy, because, you know, he doesn't know why. And so there's almost like at least half of this special where it's just like, this kid is depressed and he doesn't know why. Like, that's just so remarkable to me.
In 1965, that's wild.
Yeah. Can I read, this is on the Chad Wiki. Can I read this little bit here?
Yeah.
It says, you know, after the comics debut in 1950, Peanuts became, you know, really popular by the mid 60s. Like it was like, you know, it was SpongeBob by then, you know? And then, I guess Coca-Cola sponsored to make these or make this special.
Oh.
But it says that it was pretty uncommon for them to actually hire child actors to do the voices for this. And so that was something like unorthodox. The soundtrack was unorthodox, you know, it's jazz piano by Vince Giraldi. I think that's how you say it. It's like a laugh track. A lot of cartoons around this time had like laugh tracks, like say like Flintstones and stuff.
Rocky
had, like,
Bullwinkle.
Yeah, like laugh tracks in them. So that was like, so its addition to its tone, pacing, music, and animation led all the producers to think like this is going to be a disaster. You know, like this, this whole thing, but it won an Emmy and a Peabody. The soundtrack has been bought 4 million times. It, wow. Wait.
Soundtrack? There were like 2-3 songs on this.
Well, there's like, yeah, I mean, you can, it's on.
Man, it could be a 45.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, that's true. That's true.
Like, it was, yeah, you can, the whole thing's on Spotify, and there's a lot of background music. It's great. It's great Christmas.
Well, if you, now that you mentioned the songs or the music, I don't know if that was something we were going to talk about later, but that the dancing is probably my favorite part in the whole thing. Mm. Like just the kids dancing, like, cause each one is doing like this really unique dance move. And, like there's
one guy's walking in place.
There's a kid in the very top. I don't know his name, but he's doing this Frankenstein dance where his hands are out and he's just moving his feet. I'm like, so cool. It's very reminiscent. I don't know if you're a listener and you've ever been to like a goth club, like this is kind of how people dance there. And and then it's just so, it's my favorite thing, like the kids dancing. It's so cool. And
isn't Snoopy rocking on a guitar? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
I think all the awards are merited because really, like you were saying, it almost like all those things that came standard in a lot of cartoons, like laugh tracks and stuff like that, actually for me predisposed the cartoon to be more background noise. Like, okay, you put this on while you're cooking or whatever, but this special actually, like, it seems like grave in a sense, and it kind of makes you pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cause again, this one has, I feel like this special, compared to the Thanksgiving one, actually has stakes. Like, you know, there's a great bit, the first that you were talking about in the first half, where Charlie Brown's like, I'm depressed and I don't exactly know why. And then the second half, after he talks to Lucy, is putting on this production for the school or the town or whatever. And Charlie Brown's like, that's right, I'm going to do that. So it feels like there's stakes in play and everyone's just messing around dancing. And it's just like, would you quit playing that one song, Schroeder? Just play just anything different than that one song, please.
I think the song's called Lioness and Lucy, I think. Isn't that the name of that track, I think?
It probably makes
and
sense.
Then, you know, I mean, and the stakes are raised in a sense for Charlie Brown because he's got all these haters. Everyone, like, it's remarkable. That's another thing that stood out to me in this special is like how awful these kids are towards Charlie Brown. Like, no wonder he's depressed. You guys make him feel like crap. Like I sent in the chat, like, the first thing that stood out was like, do something right for a change, Charlie Brown. This is one, the meanest girl in the whole group.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest.
It's even emphasized, like, in these moments, like, especially when they all hate on him for bringing that crappy tree on stage and everything. It's like each moment is, like, emphasized with, like, a one-color background. You know what I mean? It cuts to their reactions, and it's like one color behind them, almost like Creepshow. It's like, Charlie Brown, you idiot.
One of them says, you're so stupid. Like,
you're so stupid, Charlie Brown. I hate you. And it's just like, Charlie Brown, I could just imagine him just like reaching into his pocket and pulling out a gun or something and pointing it to his head. Yeah, it's insane.
You mentioned the stakes of the episode. The stakes aren't what we see. The stakes are Charlie Brown's life.
It's funny too. Like, I get that it's interesting. I almost see this episode going in a slightly different way. Like, the one of the funniest moments of this special is in the beginning when Charlie Brown's just like, his eyes heads down, he's moping around, he's like, why am I depressed? And he sees a psychiatric help stand out in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, I love it. It's just, this could have been, I realized that he's supposed to go there. He's supposed to meet Lucy, and it kind of gets the events in motion. But I was thinking how great a throwaway gag this could have been if you just walked by and you just see that sign that says, the doctor is out. And he's just like, oh, grief. You know, good grief. And he just keeps walking.
I when you said that, I was curious. Have you never seen like that imagery before of the psychiatric stand?
No.
Never. Oh, wow.
That threw me. I was like, oh my God, Charlie. We talk about this a lot on Saturday Morning Apocalypse, but like Simpsons like level humor. Like, to me, that could have been a Simpsons level joke where he just walks by and happens to notice a pop-up stand that says psychiatric help, and the tagline below it is, the doctor is out. I just thought it could have. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the special. I love where it goes from there, where he talks to Lucy and she basically, you know, tells him, you know, why he's depressed. And he's like, that's it. You know, I love that moment. But that could have very easily been like a Simpsons throwaway gag. The doctor is out. Like, you're depressed and there's no helping you.
Was it Lucy or was it his sister talking about like what they wanted for Christmas or something? And then one of them's just like, no one will get me what I want. And they're like, what do you want? And they're like, real estate.
Well, that's Lucy because she's terrible.
I thought that was so good.
Yeah, Lucy's a great character.
Real estate.
Well, but he does also talk to his sister about that. She talks about her list to Santa. And she basically, and I love it. She's just like, at the end, it ends with her saying, all I want is what I have coming to me, my fair share. It's such a weird thing for a kid to say. I just want what's coming to me. I'm like, oh my God. So Charlie Brown has to live with that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things is that they all talk like adults. I think that's maybe the joke about this show or these comic strips and stuff.
Well, yeah it's kind of funny if you think about, if you kind of compare it to or contrast it to like what we've watched about Rugrats. Like Rugrats puts the babies as babies, mm-hmm. but Charlie Brown and the Peanuts puts the babies as adults, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like there's some good bits. I'm trying to think. It's interesting watching it too, like thinking like, oh, that would have been a comic strip, like where the real estate would have been the last panel joke.
You know, yeah.
Kind of thing. Like those three lines, you know, kind of thing. Like, well, no one's going to get me what I want for Christmas. So what do you want or something? Real estate. So that's just like, that's it. That would have been the strip, basically. Like
Lucy Luther over here. It's all about real estate.
But yeah, there's some, what else happens in here? There's that whole bit with like the snow. They're trying to throw snowballs at the can on the fence.
And that, yes, Linus, that gets into what I wanted to talk about next. Linus in this episode. Like, there's like a bit where Linus is like, Lucy's trying to get Linus to get rid of his like emotional support blanket or whatever that is, and he will not get rid of it. And and also it's interesting to note Linus is the one, he's like the religious guy basically in the episode when they're all like fighting like, oh, the meaning of Christmas, blah blah blah. He's the one that comes out on stage, is like, Jesus. It's about Jesus, essentially, is what he says. You can boil it down to that one word.
Like really says, I guess he says like the Lord or something.
Yeah, he says our Savior is born. So I mean,
but he kind of like
goodwill towards men, blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's like more like, you know, peace and world peace and love and.
It's essentially him dropping them. It's basically a mic drop moment where like he's like, "Can you bring the lights down, please?" And then starts like.
I love like the reverb on his voice too at that point. It's just like so silent and everything. I love.
Yeah.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I would have loved a cutaway joke where it's like, it cuts to Lucy or maybe Charlie Brown's brother or Charlie Brown's sister after he gives that speech, and she's just like, well, yeah, but what about the presents? I want what's coming to me, damn it! I want my fair share!
They kind of all learn the lesson, and they realize, like, oh, maybe we should be goodwill man to Charlie Brown or something, you know?
Maybe we shouldn't shit all over his tree that he got, especially for our show.
And he felt compelled by that tree. There's something speaking to him. He was finding his purpose, like Charlie Brown.
That honestly kind of reminded me of Stand By Me when Will Wheaton sees that deer. It was one of those moments where he just like happens upon this little worthless tree with all the bristles that keep falling off. And he's just like, it's me. This tree is me. I'm also losing my hair too.
You're right. That's it.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't make it super explicit, but they specifically say like get an aluminum tree. So like, you know, aluminum.
Yeah.
You know, fake, and then this is the one real tree that he finds. And so, I mean, you have to, if you tie it into the real meaning of Christmas, like, you know, you want the organic, homegrown, GMO-free tree. Locally owned.
There's a nice moment when they walk up to those trees and they go, tink, tink, tink. Like, yeah. That's a good aluminum tree there. And for some reason, there's spotlights, like advertising for this tree lot.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I've seen that before, kind of, you know, like.
It was like, funny, though, because that's what Linus says. I think it's Linus, and he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, let's go to where the spotlights are.
But there's probably some trees over there. Yeah. It's also weird, too, like, the aluminum trees being outside, like, they were not, like, I don't know. I guess they just wanted to do that, you know, because the fake trees usually would be like in like a department store. Or
yeah, that's true.
But it's a cool visual. I love all the colors of those trees and the kind of still that watercolor look is cool.
Well, some of them are like pink, like crazy colors.
Yeah,
trees,
I bet you in the 60s that was a big thing. Like, oh, we're getting a fake tree and they're all different colors and stuff. I bet.
Yeah, you got the shag
plastic
rug
tree.
Too many trees were burning down houses that they
trees. Yeah, before all those handy OSHA regulations got put into place for the Christmas trees, it was just forest house fires everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, it's even that little moment with Linus in the on the stage, you know, and our Lord in a manger, and so it's still nice. I don't know, it's something cool about
it's still pleasant, you know. It doesn't. I would have loved to cut away to one of the other characters going, yeah, that's great. I'm Jewish. Or something. It's like, I don't care about this all. Yeah. But that was a little too early for that, 1965. They had enough on their plate tackling the idea of depression and anxiety in our young children. They couldn't get to the idea of other religions that exist other than Christmas.
Right. That wasn't until until Rugrats 30 years later.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good, what other kind of bits are there going on? Let me see. Yeah, 10s and 20s, all was my fair share. That's what I wrote down.
Or or Santa could just give
cold
me money.
Cold hard cash.
Boy, what a sound. How I love to hear that old money clink. That beautiful sound of cold hard cash. That beautiful, beautiful sound. Nickels, nickels, nickels. That beautiful sound of clinking nickels.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and sponsored by Coca-Cola, this whole thing.
and we do get a couple Snoopy moments. He, like, starts dancing on the, you know, the classic Snoopy dancing on the piano and stuff. It's like, and I'm assuming that's the first time we ever see that, right? Did he ever do that in the comic strip?
You might. I mean, I bet you that, like, image was probably drawn before, like, that style. That's kind of why I think they all have, it's such unique, like, kind of dances and stuff. I bet you it was sort of drawn in a certain way. Like,
yeah,
that.
Well,
go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was gonna say there's also it's more of like a D plot or a C plot, but Snoopy, like, he dresses up his house to win the prize, the contest, and that's kind of and that's where they get the decorations for the tree at the end. But that's kind of like Snoopy's always doing crazy stuff.
I love Charlie Brown's reaction to seeing the first prize thing. He's like, first prize? They gave it to that dog? That rat bastard Snoopy? They gave him first prize? As if he was competing in it as well. It's like, what does he care? You just hate Snoopy.
Well, I feel like there's this competition between Snoopy and Charlie Brown, because I think that this vibe I get from, at least if you just look at the two that we watched, Snoopy, people like Snoopy more than they like Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown, it's kind of like envious of this, and so but Charlie Brown's still Snoopy's owner, so he gets to like boss him around and stuff.
I own your ass.
Yeah, that's a good dynamic. That they just like he has this magical dog that everyone loves, and he just does like, that kind oh,
of
good
does that expand over the course of Peanuts and the specials, like Charlie Brown's like sort of that relationship between him and Snoopy. Everyone loves Snoopy, and everyone hates Charlie Brown, and he just gets resentful from it.
No, I don't know. It's not like, you know, continuity type of thing, but Snoopy's okay. just always like he's the cartoon character in this whole thing. You know, like there are, everyone else is pretty grounded. I would say, even the. Pigpen, the dirty kid.
Oh, God, Pigpen in this episode. Like, when they were doing, every time he would make, like, a motion during the play, a fresh, like, plume of dust and dirt would fall off of him. Like, it was funny the way they animated it, because as he's standing there just singing, like, there's no dust or anything coming off of him. It's only when he makes, like, these exaggerated movements, like, literally, like, a plume of dust and shit just kind of falls to the ground. And I thought that was a nice touch. And just quickly, like, to address what I was saying with Snoopy, when he starts dancing on the piano, much like the Muppet Family Christmas, I thought this this special did a good job. Well, I guess it's the first, so it needs to do this. But I was going to say it does a good job of like sucking in an audience who maybe has never seen or has that much exposure to Peanuts. And it got me invested. Like, again, I'm very ambivalent towards Peanuts and Charlie Brown in general. Like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I just never really had any exposure to it. And after watching this special, much like Muppet Family Christmas, I kind of want to do a little dive into Peanuts now. Like, I dig it.
Yeah. I mean, all the comics don't quite hit. I mean, that's what happens when you make, you know, 10,000 strips or whatever the hell it is, you know, like over 50 years. But like, but yeah, it's similar. Like there's those, like that whole thing with the real estate or the cold hard cash, 10s and 20s, like that's basically like what a strip would be like, maybe, you know, like those type of jokes.
And I think that humor holds up too. That to me, like a lot of those bits are like timeless bits of humor.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like, yeah, I guess you can latch on. Like, I think the idea is like someone could watch this and see themselves in one of the characters or something, but everyone has a little bit of Charlie Brown in them, I feel like, you know? yeah, it's a weird character. There's nothing quite like it, I feel like. And maybe that's why it has such a legacy, I feel like. There's nothing, it's hard to. Like you basically, when you see like a certain character that reminds you of, it's like, that's like a Charlie Brown type of character. It's like a certain, he's not like, he's his own trope. Almost.
Yeah. It's funny because there's this kind of simultaneous, like he stands out because he's so unique, like you said, but at the same time, he's not showy either. So it's almost like he's not, Charlie Brown has this like, I don't know, very like just organic or naturalistic feel where he's so distinct and his personality is unmistakable, but at the same time, it's not like some like Kramer character or whatever that's wacko or crazy. Like he's just,
yeah, he's not barging into the doorways.
Yeah. He's just, he's walking quietly, thinking to himself, being depressed, just like, I don't know. It's just so distinct, but not like in your face.
Like, what's his name? Like George Michael in Rest Development and the Charlie Brown walk that they would do.
That reminds me. The voices in this special were different than the ones in the Thanksgiving special. Like, were they actually kids? You said they were kids in this one?
Yeah, and I'm sure those kids were like teenagers by the time the Thanksgiving one came out. You know?
Do you know if that was?
Yeah, because that was like 10 years later, right?
Was that a consistent thing throughout the Charlie Brown specials that they got kids?
It looks like it. I mean, that was one of the things, like, for instance, this one, that was kind of a thing where, you know, you'd have adults doing kid voices, and that still happens today, but this was, like, a thing where they had little kids coming in, and, like, kind of the same thing, like, I remember it being a big deal when Hey Arnold was coming out around that time, in Nickelodeon, that they actually had, like, little, like, kids doing the voices for it. I remember the commercials, like, seeing the kids doing the voices for Hey Arnold and stuff. And that show has a very Charlie Brown energy to it.
Yeah, it does.
And so I feel like they were kind of going for a similar thing. But yeah, I'm sure they kind of did. I'm sure they had to get new kids, like, every couple of years, I'm guessing.
As someone who watched the Thanksgiving special first, that was their first exposure, I got to admit, I was a little disappointed that they weren't the same voices, because I think the thing that hooked me into that, the Thanksgiving special, Charlie Brown's voice, was the moment when he's talking to Lucy in the beginning about the football, and that moment when he goes, ha! like that. Like something about the way he delivered the ha like that. Like I'm like, that's my Charlie Brown, that voice right there. So to hear this kid's voice, it didn't ruin anything for me, but it was like slightly disappointing because I don't know. He does have that moment where he's like, that's it. And I'm getting the feeling that that's kind of a thing with Charlie Brown. He'll have like a moment when he's talking to someone and he'll be like, ha, or yes. Like does that a thing with Charlie Brown where he'll always just exclaim at a moment?
Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything. That's it!
Well, it's these outbursts of like passion, really, because it's like he feels justified, or something clicks within him, you know, because he has a rain cloud hanging out over his head. So it's just like every once in a while the sun will come out, and you get passionate when that happens.
Yeah. When Charlie Brown remembers what it feels like to be alive,
yeah,
like, yeah. Poor Charlie Brown, man. Just the whole world just hates him and just dumps on him all the time. Oh man,
I'm trying to find like a list of the actors, but it's kind of tough to pull it up.
One thing that was interesting about this one, I don't think, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but Peppermint Patty wasn't in this one, was she?
No, she wasn't.
And it was interesting because in the Thanksgiving special, Lucy was only in it for the beginning for like 2 minutes. So we kind of have that swap in this episode. Like I was honestly thinking there was a character on stage in this special that I thought, I'm like, is that supposed to be Peppermint Patty? Like, she kind of looks like her a little bit. I guess it wasn't.
Yeah, I think that based on what I know about Charlie Brown is that, and the Peanuts, is that they don't, it's not necessary to have every character in each special. So you sometimes have some rotation, just kind of however it fits. Because like, if you think about it, the Thanksgiving one is really Peppermint Patty is just pushing on Charlie Brown, so it's almost like their story. Whereas this one, it's Charlie Brown, and I mean Lucy is important, obviously, but it's mostly just Charlie Brown's story. That's the way it feels like to me. So, but yeah, it's not mandatory to have certain characters, and especially that's the other thing too is if you think about the dates, Charlie Brown came out a lot earlier, so it may be like a similar like Elmo thing that we still saw in Muppets, that maybe the character wasn't as popular, or there's just a is a crowd favorite at the time, who knows.
Well, plus also, as we at least as I learned in the Thanksgiving special, Peppermint Patty kind of has a thing for Charlie Brown, so this Christmas special is all about no one liking Charlie Brown. Oh. So you can't have the Peppermint Patty character in this because she actually likes Charlie Brown.
Sally kind of has a moment where she's like, sort of like, do you like me, huh, Charlie Brown? Or something like that. I forget what she says, but there's kind of a moment where I think she doesn't like him, or pretends like she doesn't, but thinks that Chuck likes Sally. But I don't know.
Well, I think if I remember correctly, in those sequence of episodes, it was because she goes on to talk to Schroeder too. And
Schroeder.
So she's
always leaning on the piano.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think she really likes Schroeder. But at the same time, she also thinks very highly of herself. So she just kind of thinks that everybody likes her.
I want to see when Peppermint Patty showed up in cause I bet you that's the later character.
That's what I was wondering, if maybe she just hadn't been introduced yet. Because honestly, like, that was one of my favorite bits of the Thanksgiving special, was just the way she spoke about Charlie Brown. Like, hey, Chuck, I'm calling you, Chuck. I want to invite myself to dinner over there at your place, Chuck. Is that cool, Chuck? I like that whole dynamic. I liked her speech pattern. And especially her voice. Just, hey, Chuck. Like, just something about her voice was just inherently funny to me.
It looks like her first appearance was in 1966, so the year after this. Oh, and then... Okay. Her animated debut was in the special You're in Love, Charlie Brown, which was, I think, a Valentine's Day thing.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. It's like the first episode, we're starting off, no one likes Charlie Brown, and then a year later, like, we got to have someone who likes Charlie Brown. It can't just be the entire world just dumping on him all the time. We got to have someone that pulls for Charlie Brown.
Yeah. So 1967, so she came out in 66 in the comic, and 67 was her first appearance in one of these specials, which is the one, yeah, because Charlie Brown has it for the little redhead girl. That's what her name is, I think, in the class. yeah. You know what we should do on maybe in the next year, because you hadn't, we talked about Hey Arnold a bunch, but we haven't really got into that ever, have we?
On the... No.
No, I think Rugrats is, I think, the only Nickelodeon cartoon. Yeah. But Rugrats maybe after, was
we've done a lot of Nickelodeon, but some put it like on the books for a far future to do maybe a Hey Arnold, just to compare like that, like a modern take on Charlie Brown, I feel like would be interesting.
Yeah, Hey Arnold would be a good show to talk about. I remember, well, I don't know, I'll save it for a different time. But,
and it has a jazzy soundtrack too, kind of, you know? Hmm. It's sort of, yeah. I think it could, I think it's definitely like a modern version of Charlie Brown, I would say.
Is Arnold the only character in that, as a brief side note, is Arnold the only character in that show that has a football head?
They all have like weird shapes. Like they all kind of.
Yeah, but he is that. Because one of the characters calls him football head. Like that's.
Hey Arnold, what's with your head?
Yeah. Move it, football head.
Yeah. So there's, everybody has a weird head, and I think it kind of borrows from Doug in that sense. But Hey Arnold's or Arnold is the only football head.
Yeah, and I think, but he's not like a depressed, really. It's more of just like the, I think the tone is a similar kind of thing, you know, and he's always like trying, he's more of like a optimistic character. Arnold is, I feel like, but kind of helping more depressed people, I think, in his thing. But it's sort of, it's just similar tone with the jazzy soundtrack and like the different types of characters that kind of come in and out, and they're all kid voices. So I didn't really kind of piece that together, I feel like, until now. I never really thought about, like, oh, I bet you that's what the creator of that show was going for.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do think it has a similar vibe. It's not necessarily identical or anything like that, but it does have that kind of, I don't know what the adjective is that I want to use, but kind of just subdued, kind of, organic feel. And it's funny, too, because Hey Arnold characters are so weird looking, but... But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to get to Hey Arnold in the future. But before we do, I just want to say I hate to let you down, Morton Hoof. But it doesn't look like we're going to get to Power Rangers this year. I just want to tell you, I got the Turbo Man doll, I got the Power Rangers doll, I got it on layaway, it's shipping now, so it may not be here for Christmas, but it will be here soon after Christmas, so we will do a Power Rangers show, Nick, okay.
Good grief.
Yeah. It's the shipping these days is
there's a lot of supply chain issues.
Supply chain issues. You wouldn't think so in the apocalypse, post-apocalypse, but somehow supply chain issues. It's weird.
What Power Rangers do you think you're going to pick a couple episodes? What's the plan?
Is it
behind the curtain a little bit? But I'm
is
just
Dave
curious.
Choosing or is the real fan choosing?
How can I? This is all Power Rangers is your thing. You need
I feel
to
like I
them.
Chose the Muppets thing, so maybe someone else needs to choose for Power in the future.
If it wasn't Nick, it would be a crime. It would be a crime against Saturday Morning Apocalypse.
I think the one tell me if I'm wrong, because you know more. But was the first episode of Power Rangers? But the first broadcast was the one with the pig, right? Is that true?
Well, there's in Power Rangers lore, there was a pilot episode that wasn't broadcast, and that had a different actor for the Yellow Ranger. And the original Yellow Ranger was, or that we all know and love is, Trini. And, but that in the pilot episode, it wasn't the first Yellow Ranger. So,
I think I heard about this. Doesn't she have to have sex with a pig to save the prime minister's daughter or something?
Yeah, that's the director's cut version. So that's
Jesus. Got it. Well, no wonder. It's no wonder it didn't air. I mean, it was too edgy for kids' TV at the time.
Yeah, I think it was on Netflix later.
That'll come later. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm remember.
I just could be wrong, but I just remember. I could be. I feel like Pudgy Pig?
Yeah, Pudgy Pig was the villain.
But was that the that wasn't that? I know that's the first episode, but was that the first one ever broadcasted?
Ever broadcast? I mean, it was. I don't think that was the first episode, because the first episode has the my memory could be a little hazy, but the first real villain that was broadcast was the skeleton. I forget his name, but he was like he had a top hat, or not a top hat, but some kind of like extended hat, and he had a cape. But Pudgy Pig was. I don't think that was the first broadcast episode.
I don't know. Maybe that's just
you
the
gotta
first
brush
one
up that... on your lore. You're supposed to be the chronicle. You're the chronicler, Nick, of Power Rangers lore. The way it's
he was episode 6, Food Fight.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look. I'm gonna see if I can find the info. But for some reason, that sticks out. Maybe I'm just like mixing things because it was probably within the same month, you know, kind of. But that's like maybe that's the first villain that like I remembered, like real distinctly. But because I remember specifically going, we can talk about this later for Power Rangers.
People listening right now are like, talk about Charlie Brown.
Just like the going to like seeing it on the weekend, like Saturday, and going to school the next Monday, and everyone being like, did you see Power Rangers? And it like changed their lives, like in like second grade or first grade, whatever it was.
Like they'd never seen a Godzilla movie before.
Yeah. It was great.
Well, I guess this is a little different because it's giant robots that transform. So that's something.
Well, yeah, they're like they're teenagers with attitude, you know. So
did you guys see the floaty face head?
Floaty face head.
Messed up.
He's talking about Zordon.
Zordon.
But yeah, I mean, this is getting way too sidetracked. But.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a tease.
But look forward that. Look Good forward grief. To that. If you want, if you like Power Rangers, then we will do an episode. I'll try to create something very special.
Yeah, you need like a 3-episode arc or something.
Something like that, or I may even, because I mean we will obviously do the original season, but I may throw in an advanced season just because I do think it's interesting to compare and contrast sometimes, because
that would be cool.
In the Power Ranger fandom, I mean, there's a lot of other seasons that are actually loved pretty highly. So, we'll talk about it. So I'll put something together.
That was a brief preview of our future Power Rangers talk, audience. So
any other kind of like, and this is sort of like the end of the year resolutions. Any other kind of like things you want to try to throw in for next year?
Oh, you mean like other episode themes? And stuff
just
like
other,
that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other. I mean, well, maybe Hey Arnold, maybe like in the sometime.
Yeah, I think Hey Arnold. Like we definitely should explore, because hey, we've done Rugrats, but I feel like in the eras of Nickelodeon, I think we talked about this a little bit, Rugrats is a little earlier than Hey Arnold, and mm-hmm. Hey Arnold is more in that group of like Wild Thornberries and Rocket Power and stuff like that, so it may be interesting to compare
right before SpongeBob, I feel like.
Yeah,
like the middle.
Mm-hmm. That's what, and that was like when I was a prime kid, and so that might be an interesting era to talk about. And then I feel like there's a couple like Cartoon Network shows that we could talk about.
I would also like to get into some more classic stuff that I never really touched on, like Popeye or Johnny Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess in a way, we almost sort of talked about Johnny Quest with Godzilla. I feel like that had a Johnny Quest vibe to it. But something like Popeye or just like older stuff that I'd never seen before might be interesting.
I would love to do some Hanna-Barbera stuff. That would be good. And then there was
Scooby-Doo. Yeah. Never seen it.
Oh
never.
My gosh. How?
Never ever.
Oh man. Okay. So if we do Scooby-Doo, there's a really great article that I read a long time ago, and it talks about like what makes Scooby-Doo the best, and I'll share it then. But Scooby-Doo is, if you've never seen it, that's, we should prioritize that, because
that's wildest. I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo, but I gotta watch it. It was just something that was on a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised you never really just like caught it randomly.
Well, I don't think
I was aware of it, obviously, but
I mean, I remember watching Scooby-Doo on Cartoon Network, so Dave didn't watch a lot of Cartoon Network.
Well, can you name it all the characters of the Scooby gang?
There's Scooby, Shaggy.
Okay, yeah, three more.
Oh. Wilma? Is that one?
No, close.
That's Flintstones.
Yeah. You're close.
That's
though.
It.
Yeah, you're close-ish.
Thelma. There's the mystery van. I know that. The mystery machine.
Yeah, Thelma was who you were thinking of.
Thelma. Yeah, right. That's
Then you got Fred and
Daphne.
Fred, right.
What was it, the last one?
Daphne.
Daphne, yeah.
Well, before, well, you know, we mentioned the supply chain issues, but we'll definitely have to get some Scooby snacks, so to speak, before we watch those to really enjoy them.
I like the idea of bouncing around into different eras.
I don't mean to call you out, Ryan, but it's not Thelma with a TH, it's Velma.
Velma, yeah, my
bad. Oh, yeah, you just got schooled.
I like Scooby-Doo. Well, I like Scooby-Doo quite a bit, but my younger brother loves Scooby-Doo. But we watched Scooby-Doo a lot, and we watched all, like, there are a lot of incarnations of Scooby-Doo.
It's still going today, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're still making movies and stuff like that. But the problem, and spoiler, or just a preview, but the problem with nowadays Scooby-Doo is that oftentimes the monsters are real monsters, and that is a complete undermining of the premise of Scooby-Doo.
That sucks.
It's like a very serious crime. So.
I'm very interested to touch on Scooby-Doo because I'm really interested to see why that has endured for so long. Not that I, again, like Charlie Brown, I'm more ambivalent towards it because I just didn't really care, right? But I'm interested to see why Scooby-Doo has endured for as long as it has, for decades upon decades that it has.
Yeah, that's
all. Because it seems like such a throwaway concept. It's like, yeah, they solve mysteries, and it's always like, you know, Mr. Belvedere or whatever. You take the mask off or whatever it was. So it's just like it was like watching
CSI or Law and Order or something.
It was the original crime drama.
Scooby Doo Florida or Scooby Doo Miami or something like that. Scooby Doo takes off his glasses. Or
it's it. And, I mean, freaking Batman and Robin show up on Scooby-Doo. How'd you not see
what?
That?
What? Oh, yeah. Wow. I knew the Harlem Globetrotters showed up at one point, but...
No, Adam West Batman shows up, you know?
Wow. Were they at the same time? All right, we're getting into the weeds now,
I'm
folks.
Sorry.
Let's
this is fun. Yeah.
A lot of good stuff in the future. That's what we'll say.
I like this. I like it.
Yeah. Hold on, guys. Let me. Are you getting this? Are you hearing this? We're getting a transmission come through. Check it. Clear it up a bit. Clear it up. Is that Mike? Is that you?
Hey, Dave. Brian. I don't know if the Morton Hoof Praise Be is there. This is Michael. I'm calling. Well, you know where I'm calling from. They said I got one phone call, and I know I should probably be calling my wasteland attorney right now, but god dang it, I couldn't help but call you and talk about the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I told y'all it was really formative to me, and hey, keep it down. I'm on a call. I'm on a call. Trying to talk Charlie Brown. Sorry about that, guys. So, yeah. I thought I'd use my one call to talk about the Charlie Brown Christmas special. You know, it's a good one. I know that the Thanksgiving one was, you know, maybe a little divisive. Maybe Dave was feeling like he was right in his disdain for the Charlie Brown franchise. I'm hoping that there was some egg on Dave's face after watching the Christmas special. It's just a goddamn delight. I think that, you know, the music, the characterization of all the all the characters are fleshed out well. They all shine well. You get some Lucy, you get some Schroeder, you get Charlie Brown, and he's just a, you know, there's nothing more Charlie Brown than him getting that Christmas tree that's fallen over. But finding, like, the beauty in it. I love it. Even though it gets all religious for a little bit, I'm kind of all right with it. Like, it's a religious holiday. I personally do not share the brand of faith that it espouses, but I can appreciate it from afar. I'm okay with the way it talks about it and kind of addressing that part of it. It's fine. I feel like I'm like dipping my toes into that culture when I see it. So I don't mind that as much as I used to. That used to be a big sticking point for me, but in my old age, I don't care anymore. I just like the jazz music and, you know, Snoopy's real fun. And I'm being pulled out. I gotta go. Well, thanks for letting me call in. You know, this was my one call. So again, if you can help, please send help.
Well, that's I'm glad that we got. Well, it's good hearing from Mike. I'm glad that we got him on the show in some capacity. He was able to give his thoughts on Charlie Brown. It wouldn't have felt right. I mean, after having him on the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown episode, like, it wouldn't have felt right not having him on this episode in some way, especially since this is the last episode of the year. So I'm glad we got Mike on. I know he dies a lot. He's got you, like, he's almost going after your death record, Ryan, as far as
I thought he hasn't died. Death. I don't know.
Oh, presumed dead. I'm sorry. Nick, I think you're the only one that hasn't been presumed dead on this show.
Just ruler of the waste.
Nick will never die.
You can't kill the Morton.
But I'd like to thank, as we said in the Muppet Family Christmas special, I'd like to thank you, weirdos, you fellow Charlie Downers, for joining us for our last episode of the year. We'll be back next time with, as we said, Hey Arnold, Power Rangers, Scooby-Doo, who knows what, Betty Boop. We might even do Betty Boop. You never know. And, of course, we'll be back with all your
movie reviews. How about the dinosaur, that black and white, like... That what was the name? It was like the first animated thing ever of that, like, brontosaurus.
I watched that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And that's actually kind of cool, because the guy, like, touches the dinosaur, or the dinosaur, like, pops out or something. That, just for purely historical reasons, that's a good.
We're going to cover it all, folks. We got grand plans for Apocalypse Video going into next year. But I want to thank you for listening to this episode. It was a pleasure finally delving into the world of Charlie Brown. I was ambivalent about Charlie Brown for the longest time, but now I get it. I'm going to do a dive into Charlie Brown. I'm going to do a dive into Muppets. Hell, I'm going to do a dive into Scooby-Doo. Like, we're going to do it all next year. And I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to thank you guys, Ryan and Morton Hoof, for sending us off into the new year, saying goodbye to this year, going into the next. It was a lot of good times, a lot of crazy times, a lot of deaths, but that's to be expected on this crazy wild show we're on. Thank you for joining us, folks. We'll be back next year. This is Dave, Ryan, and Nick from Apocalypse Video, wishing you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and the rest. Happy holidays, folks.
'Cause Gertie the dinosaur.
19, good save, Ryan.
1914.